Welcome to Career Tools. This is Wendy.
And this is Amanda.
Today's cast, Time Management and the High C, Part 1 of 2.
The questions that this cast answers are, what are High C's weaknesses when it comes to time management? What can High C's do to mitigate their weaknesses? And how can High C's improve their time management skills?
If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
Y'all, you're running out of time to register for M Conference. October 9th and 10th, we'll be in the DFW area. We're hosting our executive level event, the M Conference, and we'd like very much to invite you to come and see us, meet the manager tool speakers, learn from fellow executives, and really hang out. 2 full days of content and networking, plus Mark and Mike. Sign up at manager-tools.com/training.
Career Tools has been giving guidance about the specific skills we can use in the workplace, how our behavioral tendencies affect them, and how we can save ourselves from ourselves for years. And finally, after years and years and years, we've got round to time management. And probably all of you are thinking you can't manage time, which is true. But there are ways that you can use time more efficiently, and there are ways that we get in our own way and don't use time efficiently. And in this guidance, we're going to talk about some common High C behaviors and how those behaviors affect the way High C's use time and how we can get out of our own way and use time more effectively.
All right. So what we're going to cover is involve people early, lower your standards, speed up decision-making, manage resistance to change, and maintain an efficient pace.
And before we start, for everybody who's thinking, I don't know what DISC is, what are these letters? We're going to quickly go over the model so that you know what DISC is. So DISC is a behavioral model, which means we look at people's behaviors, and then we look at groups of people, and we look for similarities in the way they behave so that we can predict what they might do or how they might think or how they might approach a situation. And we look at those behaviors on 2 axes. So we look at the difference between the way people approach tasks and the way they approach people. And then we look at the difference whether they are assertive or reserved. So if you think of that, that's 2 axes. And if you think of all of the permutations, there's 4 permutations, D, I, S, and C are the names of the 4 permutations. So a high D is made up of being assertive and task focused. So if those people walk into a meeting room, they're the people who walk in, they are assertive, so they take over the room, they know what they want to do, they check off the list of things they want done, and they walk straight back out again because their focus is on getting tasks done. If you have a high I and they walk into the room, again, they're assertive, so they take over the room, but their focus is on people, and so they want to greet everybody, they come in, slap everybody on the back, shake everybody's hands. They do all of that before they get round to the tasks. The high S's are people focused like the I's, but they're reserved. So they come into the room much more quietly. They would come in and just maybe stand by the door and assess what's going on, look at who is talking to each other. And then they might walk up to people just quietly and gently, one-on-one, and shake people's hands and say, how are you? And introduce themselves to the meeting that way. A high C is also reserved and task-focused. So that means that if they go into a meeting, again, they do it like a high S. So they might, again, stop by the door and start to assess what's going on. But they are focused on what they're bringing to the meeting in terms of data. And do they have the evidence? Do they have an agenda? They want to know what's going to happen in the meeting and what decisions are going to be made, what information they need to have in order to check off the tasks that are going to happen in that meeting. So each style approaches the same situation differently, and there's no best style. They all have their pluses and minuses depending on the situation, and we need all 4 to make a good team. And in this cast, we're going to specifically talk about high C's.
Right. So when talking about high C's, just know that, again, above all else, they want to be accurate. They want precision. And sometimes when it comes to time management, it takes them a little bit longer to respond or get things done. So that's really what we're going to dig into today. So first, let's talk about involving people early. High C's, again, are reserved and task-focused. This combination means that they would far rather work on their plan than show it to anyone. They also like to work alone. Mm-hmm. They have a tendency. Yeah. So when they do present it to people that it affects, they often find that they have to redo the work because it's not suitable, viable, or otherwise won't work. And their feelings are hurt, right? They work alone, they present it to people, and then they find out, probably way too late in the process, that it's not exactly what the other folks wanted.
The high D has the same problem, that they have to do rework, but it's for a different reason. A high D just chooses what to do and rushes off without thinking, is this the right thing to do? The high C has to redo the work because they keep it for so long to themselves that they don't know whether it's the right thing or not because they haven't involved other people. Because a plan or a list of tasks is comfortable and controllable and predictable, and people are not predictable. It's much nicer to have that certainty of a nice, well-organized work breakdown list where there's all the numbers and there's colors and you've got control of it than the chaos of people and the way people introduce things. And we'll also talk about later, high C's also fall into the trap of perfectionism. So they want to keep iterating on their plan until it's absolutely perfect. And so they'll keep telling people, no, it's not ready for you to look at. I always think that painters must be high C's because they're always like, you know, when you, the archetypal person who's painting and somebody says, oh, can I have a look? And they say, no, no, it's not ready for viewing yet. You know, it's yeah. Like it's that, that's what high C's do. No, it's not ready for everyone else to look at. Yeah. Because they don't want to explain it mid thing. They want to only present what's perfect.
Yeah, because again, high C's, 100% accuracy is the only way that they're going to give you that information. And it takes time to get there. So the problem with this strategy is that they've put hours of time and work into their plan or that piece of work, which is going to be wasted. If you can imagine a high C doing interior design, they meticulously design a custom kitchen for a client, maximizing every inch of space, carefully researching the most durable finishes and the most efficient appliances, only for the client to say, I don't actually really cook in this kitchen, and I only wanted to spend about $5,000 in here. Presenting the client with ideas earlier or talking to the client more at the beginning of the project would have saved this person a lot of work. So yes, it's a beautiful plan, but if it's going to cost them $75,000 and they only wanted to spend five, all of that hard work went to waste.
It did. It's a shame. And one way to prevent yourself going too far without consulting your clients, whether they be your colleagues or your boss or other internal customers or internal clients, is to give yourself a percentage of the planning time after which you'll check in with the client. It's better than saying after one day, because after one day, if you have a year's project versus a week's project, after one day is an entirely different thing. So if you give yourself a percentage, they'll work better. So the standard rule is that a third of the total time on a project is spent planning. So if we start there, let's assume we have a project of 30 days. So a third of that time would be 10 days. So we're going to spend 10 days planning. And then let's say we check in with the client after 10% of that time. So that would be one day. If the project is 3 months, a third of the time planning would be 1 month. 10% of a month is 3 days. So you would check in with the client after 3 days.
And I love this part of our cast today because Wendy just threw a lot of numbers out and really only the high C's are like, yes, that makes sense. The high I's already left. If you're a high I, you're really like, what? That seems like a lot.
They had lunch with their client every day this week. It's fine.
One third. Oh, okay. So if one day feels like it's way too soon for you, that's just the problem, right? If you're thinking that's too early, you have to think through it. If a day is 8 hours, how much of a standard 30-day project plan would you have to do in 8 hours? Enough to get some big milestones in. Enough to have the major pages mapped out. Enough to have a couple ideas for images. And enough time to give a client an idea of what you're thinking about going. 8 hours, one day seems like very short, but 8 hours of working on a project, you get a lot of work done. So that's a good starting place, something to give them.
And that's all you want at this stage. You're not going to have a meeting where you're going to show them the project plan in detail. We're not talking about 800 lines of a project plan. What we're talking about is a check-in where you say, hey, I'm looking at using the Carrera marble that we used in your bathroom and maple cabinets and Miele appliances, and the total's going to be between $50,000 and $75,000. Is that what you were thinking? And the client says, I don't cook. I was thinking 5,000. And now you don't waste the next 10 days working on something that your client doesn't like or didn't ever envision. And it's the same with work things, right? If you're a graphic designer and you say in 8 hours you can present them, your boss, with 3 treatments of what you think his idea is, and all of them have some screaming bright orange in them, and he takes one look and says, I hate bright orange. Well, that's a good thing that you know that now, because otherwise you're going to spend days working on treatments that have bright orange in them. So this is it's not detail. It's just the highest level check of, am I on the right road? Can I continue down this road without wasting my time?
Yeah, just choose the correct path, right? Mm-hmm. You have to have some insight. And once you get to this point, especially when you're talking about the first check-in, you're going to have to force yourself to keep checking in at regular intervals. So when you get to 20%, when you get to 30%, and so on, you will have to even put a reminder in your calendar, hey, check in here, right? Because we might not think about it, but check in early and often. Another example is, think of an aircraft like guidance system. And that's essentially how the check-ins work. Airplanes are never exactly on target, but with thousands of frequent small adjustments, they stay close enough to the line that between their departure and arrival, I mean, they get there safely in that small window that they're supposed to get there, right? They're having constant checks to keep on the right path. And that's all you want to do here. So whether it's putting in reminders every day to like just touch base with your client, make sure you send them a snippet or a sample, and when we say clients, we don't necessarily mean just customers. This can be your peers, your colleagues, your boss, right? We're just going to say clients because it's easier. But just check in. It saves you time on the back end, really.
And frequent shorter interactions may feel less efficient, like you're wasting time, because like if every day I have to talk to someone for 10 minutes, that's less efficient than talking to them once for 60 minutes. But it means that you waste less work overall. And so in the long run, it's more efficient.
The wait is finally over. We're proud to introduce our Pathways to Professional Excellence, a game-changing license structure crafted to propel your career forward. From your first job to the boardroom, we've built the system to fuel your professional growth. Whatever your current career level, we have the tools to help you succeed. Career tools for career development, manager tools for effective team management, and executive tools for strategic leadership. This isn't a simple update. It's a transformation in how we help you be successful with your career. With Manager Tools, you'll always have the right resources at your fingertips, no matter where your career takes you. Are you prepared to supercharge your professional growth? Your customized pathway to career success is ready and waiting. Together, let's transform your career ambitions into remarkable achievements.
Let's talk about lowering your standards, right? It sounds counterintuitive.
Please don't turn off.
Yeah, I was worried at the outline. I was like, oh, I don't know if we should just hide this one, right? Because the one thing that high C's do not want to do is lower their standards. Because again, it's all about the accuracy, the precision. That's what they value. That's what you value if you're high C and you're listening to this. But when it comes to your time management, 80% is okay. I know you've heard it. People have told you, especially in the process of getting a project done or working with other people, 80% along the way is okay. So you might have to, dare I say, lower your standards. Now, I say 80% just as a number to throw out there, which I think I just lost another 5 people. 'Cause that's not accurate data, but figure out what your standard could be. That's not 100%. So we know you have a meticulous approach when you do tasks because your precision is necessary, but you don't have to apply the standard to every single task that you do. So no matter how big or how small, it can slow you down enormously. So again, you have to decide which tasks, and we'll get more into that.
So the most effective way to overcome this idea that you have to do everything to the same level of precision is to ask yourself, what level of precision does the person who asked you to do the task, or the person who needs the task done, what standard do they need it done to? So for a simple example, let's say the colleague who is sitting next to you says, what's 115,000 divided by 300? So the answer, because I used a calculator, is 383.33 recurring. But if you know that your colleague is working on monthly projections and $300 is the cost of a product and $115,000 is probably their revenue rounded up or down, they don't need the answer to 3 decimal places. They just want 383 because you know they're working to rounded numbers, you know, because they're, you can see the PowerPoint presentation on their screen and there's no way they're putting... If it's dollars, 383.33333 doesn't even make any sense because we don't have third of a cent, C-E-N-T-S, doesn't even exist. On the other hand, if you're in a pharmacy and your colleague is measuring drug doses, then that 33 recurring might actually be life or death. So yes, you do need to know that it's... to that level of precision. So the standard to which the work needs to be done is defined by the person who requests it, not by the person who does it. And the problem with high C's is they decide how to do the standard to which the work is done, and they decide that it's done to their standard, which is always really high, which is a good thing, except when it's way too high for the job they're doing and that slows them down, and then other people do their job quicker and the high C wonders why they're being left behind, or they're getting negative feedback, or they get a negative review at the end of the year when they think, I've done really good work. And the answer is yes, you did really good work, but you did really good work that was less than everybody else.
And Wendy, it was really interesting. I was chatting with one of our clients earlier this week and had this exact conversation. We're talking about communication and the different profiles. And she's like, if you could just mention to some of my high C's that, I mean, they take weeks to just respond. And then they come with this like beautiful thing that I didn't even know they were working on. Can you just mention it? Because that's a lot of time. I said, I will, because they're doing beautiful work, but nobody knows sometimes about it. And then they present it and they're like, oh, that's not where we were going with this. So it was at the top of my mind. Mm-hmm. Now, with the example of monthly projections, you can guess why a colleague wants an example into what standard they need the work. In other examples, you may need to ask. So if you don't know what standard they want, you have to ask the question, right? We know what standard you want, but you don't know what standard they want. And they might be at 80%, right? That's what I was referring to earlier. The 80%, half the world's okay with it. It'll be okay.
Yeah, and a high D or a high I want a faster answer and less precision. If you take a week to answer a high D to perfection, they're banging their heads against a wall somewhere. So my dad is a high D, a high C. When he's putting furniture together for me, I have to leave the room because otherwise we just get into a fight because he takes the IKEA furniture out. Like, all the high C's are going to say, this is the way you do it, but this is not the way I do it. He takes the furniture out of all of the packaging and then he takes the packaging to another room because it's in his way. And then he takes all the things out and he counts them to make sure he has all the pieces. And then he lines them up by size and type on the floor so he can see where they all are. And then he matches them to the instruction book. And then he reads the instruction book. And then he reads it again. And then he puts all the pieces, the big pieces out so that he knows what order he's going to use them in. And then he reads the instruction book again. And then he starts to put the furniture together. And at that point, I've already lost my mind because I'm a high D and I would have started putting furniture together like when he was undoing the boxes, you know, like I would have just started. It just drives me mental. And if a high D says to you, I need a report on X, they just want the report. I said to Elizabeth, our finance director yesterday, how much has product sold in the last 3 days? And she said, oh, I can't give it to you because of QuickBooks and this and that and the other. And I'm like, I just want like 120,000 or 12,000. That's the level of precision that I want, right? And a high D would rather have that now than $119,352.73 in a week. It's just a different way of approaching the same situation. And if you can appreciate that, you can get a lot of work done really quickly because you don't have to go to the level that you would want to.
Yeah. That'll save you a lot of time. Be like, oh yeah, I can ballpark that. And get some time back, because that's the one thing we don't get more of, right? That's why time management is so important. Now, how do you go about getting this information? Well, you can ask, do you need a high-level system architecture diagram, or are you looking for a detailed network topology with specific hardware components? Those things can help clarify whether your colleague needs a quick overview for a brainstorming session or a comprehensive plan for implementation. Again, are you looking for high level or do we need to get into the weeds? But you do have to ask. And having thought through what the various levels of detail would be in your role could be helpful. If you haven't thought about it before, you need to create a rubric to help you refer to it. And you can keep this just for yourself.
If you haven't thought about it before, like, what are the levels of detail in my job? Like, what could I offer people as in some examples of levels? Do you want this, this, and this? What would those things be? Like, just thinking that through so that you can do that in future is a good idea. And if you use this technique, you'll probably discover that 50% or more of your tasks don't require the high standards that you have been applying universally. And don't think of this as reducing the quality of your work overall. Instead, it's about matching your effort to the actual requirements of the task. So if you think of it differently, you think of it's not about meeting your standards for every task. Change the goal. The goal is to meet the standard needed for that task. If you can meet the standard for the task itself 100% of the time, you've reached the goal, right? Yay. And you may invest less time in some individual tasks, but you're ultimately being more effective. You'll complete more work, allocate your energy more efficiently, and contribute significantly more to the organization as a whole. So having shocked you with telling you to involve people and lower your standards.
I feel like lower your standards. That was our clickbait.
Yeah, exactly. We will leave you with those thoughts for this week. And we will come back next week. I think next week's are slightly less shocking. So we'll leave you to recover for this week. And we'll be back next week with the second part of this cast. Bye, everyone.